Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good and angry and upset friends, Cody Frankel and Avery Zvetsky. I don't even know what to say. I want to say it first. I saw Avery at the Garden last night. When I saw Avery in between periods in the Chase Lounge, the Rangers had a 1-0 lead. Avery has been telling me about his diet, and I saw him with 3 different desserts on his plate. Next thing you know, the Canes score 3 goals in 6.5 seconds, and the Rangers lose. So is Avery cheating on his diet the difference in the series?
Well, I just want to add to that. Like, is also, does it count if only you saw it?
Well, everyone in MSG saw it.
Shit. All right.
I just want to start off. I don't want this to be such a depressing
show. What desserts were that, dude?
No, I think that's funny, but like I'm really not in the mood. First, I want to talk about Melon. Melon, they make the greatest hats in the world. There's nowhere in the world I wouldn't go without my Melon hat. If you go to melon.com/bluecrew and use the code bluecrew at checkout, you'll get 30% off. Go fast because they don't do this often, and you got pretty much less than 2 weeks now, I think, to use the code. So go now, Blue Crew, use the code, and these Melon hats are the best. So let me tell you, they last 5 times longer than any other hat because of the structure they have, the antimicrobial things that they have in the hat. So the sweat doesn't seep through. You can clean them. They have all different sizes. If you go on their website, melon.com, you can see their fit finder and find what's right for you. They're the best hats in the game. Johnny wears them. Cody wears them. Cody is the hat guy, and he doesn't go anywhere without his Melon either. So
Cody's
go get yours today. melon.com/bluecrew. Use the code.
You're not wrong. I have an addiction. Hey, listen,
yes.
If that's the worst addiction I have, then I'm winning in life. That's all I'm going to say.
That's true.
That's true. Speaking of hats, and I know you want to talk about the Rangers, Johnny, and this correlates. Avery, do you think for game 6, it's time we switch up our hat routine?
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, I love the 99 hat. I'm not wearing it next game.
Yeah, I think Avery, it's dead.
None
of this matters. None of the shit that we do matters anymore, man. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. They have to go out and do it. These guys have to go out and do it. They have to figure it the fuck out. But whatever we do, just because I wear a fucking hat or a different sweatshirt every game, I hate that I'm cursing, but it just bothers me that I think this way. But they have to just go figure it out. Because I can't sit in my room before the game and think that I got to wear a certain pair of socks or a certain jeans or a certain shirt in order for them to fucking win a game. I just need it to happen.
Well, I actually forgot in game 5 to like fuck around with my Gensel voodoo doll. So I think that's why we lost, but I'm going to bring it to the viewing party game 6. So
well, I was going to say, do we want to talk about that also? Because Avery, I ran into Ty Gretzky after the game last night. He's in town for the full week. We should ask Ty if he wants to come to the viewing party on Thursday. But do you want to announce it, Avery?
100%. Yeah. Ty's a great guy. I was texting him a little bit because I was talking to one of the security guards I know, and he saw the hat and he was like, Wayne's actually here tonight. And then I figured Ty might be here because he usually travels with his dad. But yeah, great guy. I'll definitely hit him up, or you can, doesn't matter. But
no, you're closer with him than I am. But
yeah, we are doing a watch party at American Whiskey. If you don't know where it is, Johnny, I don't have the exact address, but it's right across the street from the Garden on the other side
It's in between 7th right. and 8th on 32nd, I think, or 30th.
West 30th. It's 247 West 30th Street.
Yeah, and so 30th in between 7th and 8th Ave.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's such a good spot, man. It's so low key and you wouldn't even think it was there. But then when you walk in, it's all Rangers. Kevin, our guy, the owner, does such a good job there, putting all the Rangers stuff up, getting it ready to go for game day. And there's some great offers where they're going to be doing some great things. $5.
I've got them right here. Oh, you got it? Yeah.
Yep. $6 single cut golden ale, $8 whiskey of the day, $20 Bud Light pitcher, $35 Bud Light / Budweiser bucket, and $45 Happy Dad buckets, along with they do a Jello shot after every single Rangers goal. So come on out and see the Blue Crew, see us, hang with us, And I know I said none of this matters, but I watched game six of the Devils series there and we won. So go
to American
Whiskey. Come hang out with us.
Yeah. And we'll
post it on all our socials too.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of that, shout out to Rebecca, Brandman's sister. Avery and I met her in the Chase Lounge. Very nice. Came up and said hello. Took a nice photo. Always great seeing seeing people that listen to the pod just say what's up. So that was cool. But do we want to talk about the game or do we want to just get into fan? We have a lot, like probably the most fan questions we've ever had.
Fan questions.
Just get into it and just go.
They're all going to be about the game. They're all going to be about, are we panicked? Are we worried? Fan questions.
All right. So I don't typically look at the fan questions before. I just try to see how many there are. And I swear it's the most we've ever had. So I'm just going to pick and choose. But these fan questions are brought to you by Breakaway Payments. Rangers fans, if you own a business or work at a company that accepts credit cards as a form of payment, then listen up. Breakaway Payments has payment processing solutions for retail and e-commerce businesses, custom integrations, and more. Email fellow Rangers fan Brett@breakawaypayments.com or visit their website, www.breakawaypayments.com. That's www.breakawaypayments.com. Breakaway Payments will save your business a ton of money on those dreaded credit card processing fees. Let's go, Rangers. I also will mention that after this, we will be having Jonathan Stewart on the pod. What?
I was going to do a great segue. You ruined it.
Sorry.
But it's okay.
Absolute worst at segues.
Yeah.
But here's the deal, though. I know football the best, and Johnny doesn't know football, so.
That's true. But I didn't know that you were going to, like, plan something out like that. But, yes, we have Jonathan Stewart, the 11-year NFL running back. For Fantasy legend, 10 years with the Panthers in Carolina and a year with the Giants. Huge Carolina Hurricanes fan. So we're going to talk to him. We're going to have a lot of fun with him. And that will be coming up after these fan questions. Cody, why did you submit a fan question?
Did I? I'm pretty sure I didn't.
It's literally right here.
What does it say?
Top left.
What does
it say?
We'll
fucking win on Thursday, but it says we 11 instead of well.
Oh, hell yeah. Guarantee.
Were you like sleeping or drunk or something?
Maybe.
All right, well, let's get into it. A lot of these are just kind of comments, it looks like. Let's find one here.
Well prepared, Johnny, as always.
I said I don't look to them.
Johnny.
I don't look at them before.
No, it's all good.
All right, here we go. Goth Brooks, RVA. Was that the softest third period you've ever seen in a possible elimination game? Shit effort tonight.
It was really bad. Yeah, it was really bad. I don't know if you guys saw Valley's post. I think I posted in the group chat, but we had one goal expected. Like that is,
I thought it was one high or like one high danger chance.
Yeah. Yeah. But like our expected goals was 1.01. And I don't think I've ever seen a Rangers game in my lifetime where we've had 1.01 expected goals in that entire game. Like that is just abysmal. I think we can all agree it was an abysmal effort by the Rangers. Like I don't think any of us would have been surprised if we entered the third period down 3-0, somehow we were up 1-0. But it wasn't a good effort.
Igor was great.
Sole performer.
That's the biggest thing about that game. I thought that was I think Valley said it too. Like Igor was so fucking good that was just a wasted performance. Like,
yeah,
I actually, quick story. I was in the elevator going down to seat where I saw Avery in between the second and third, and Brian Boyle and John Gino were in there and we were talking and I was like, dude, I don't think Igor is going to let one up. Like he looks incredible. And Boyler kind of agreed. Like it just seemed like everything was trending in the Rangers direction, and when Trouba scored that goal, like it kind of felt like poetic justice. Like that would have been, had the Rangers held on to that, that would have been a goal that like we talked like, oh, the Trouba goal, cause like what a big time play from him after getting shit on by Ranger fans over and over and over again. And then
I know Johnny kind of blamed you, but like, could we kind of turn the blame on him for reverse jinx saying Igor's not going to let one up and then kind of lose the game? I don't know.
Dude, none of this shit matters, man.
Dude, you know what does matter, dude? Getting you on a plane back to Florida.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that doesn't matter.
Get Avery
either.
The fuck out of here.
Bro, you know how many times I've seen the Rangers win at Madison Square Garden? You know how many times I've seen them win at Madison Square Garden? I was at Step On. I was at Marty St. Louis. I was at when they clinched to go to the Stanley Cup Finals.
That's great. You've been gone all year, so stay the fuck away.
Okay.
Avery, I can't wait to see you Thursday. I'm going to give you a big hug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Avery does look fucking skinny, though, I will say. He looks good. Next one. Shiv. Game felt more like the Rangers lost than Carolina won, right? Tampa Bay Lightning, New Jersey Devils, no. Flashbacks with a lack of effort.
I don't know if you guys want to speak to that, but I don't think the Rangers – I think the Rangers lost and they didn't win. I mean, they didn't have offense. They didn't have defense. Like, however you want to say
we're
that.
We're quoting that. I think the Rangers lost and didn't win.
Yeah.
That's a fucking all-time Cody quote.
Like a Rod Brind'Amour, like, oh, we lost. We got swept, but we didn't lose.
I'm actually tweeting that right now from our account.
I mean, what else can you say about that performance? I mean, they just were fucking
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Like, they just didn't really do much.
They didn't do anything. Yeah. Igor was like, listen, if you want to talk about guys, like, you know, shooting their shot and going for chances, like, maybe you can throw Roslovic's name in there last night. But, like, dude, other than him and Igor, like, I don't think anybody did anything. I mean, everybody was just awful.
My thing is that there was
just all time. I think the Rangers lost and didn't win.
Fucking A, man.
I can't get over that, dude. That's so good.
To me, the thing that bothered me the most is there was just no in-game adjustments. There was nothing. Every single puck that got rimmed around, Carolina would pinch and they would get it. We didn't get it past them once. It felt like for 10-15 minutes in the second period, we couldn't get anything going. It felt like there was just a wall between our blue line and the red line.
Well, here's the thing too, which is my concern. Last year with the Devils, the thing that went south was like the Rangers power play just went stale, right? Like it dried up. Mm-hmm. And you look at the last three games, the Rangers are now 0 for their last 8 on the power play. And their power play last night was probably the worst I've ever seen it in the last like 3 years with this unit. You know, they could not enter the zone possession. They couldn't set anything up. Panarin had a really rough game. I thought Panarin, that was a bad
one. Then, I said this. Sorry, Avery. I'm sorry, but I just need to say, like I said this last game, dude, if they're taking away his ability to make plays and suffocating him and they figured him what he's doing like out, and that is going to be so bad for us on Thursday if he can't find a way, because he needs to generate that space to be a successful player and make moves and make plays and bob and weave, and like they're just cutting him off and it's bad.
Their
sorry
first shift though, that line's first shift was amazing. So what Panarin's so good at is popping up high in the slot and becoming like a third defenseman. It's you know, it's something called like the high roller where you kind of get the defenseman chasing you, and then you do switches, you crisscross with the defenseman, you activate them, you make them like somewhat interchangeable. And that's what gets Carolina scrambling in their D zone. And the Rangers, the Trocheck line did that so well in the first shift. I was like, oh my God, they're buzzing right now. This is going to be a total wake up call from the last game. Because Panarin in the last two games now, he's -5, 2 shots on goal in the last two games. They got to find a way to get back to that. And this was a concern going into the playoffs at 5-5 was if the Panarin line, the Trocheck Lafreniere line isn't going to score goals, who is? And you look at the last couple goal scorers. the last three goal scorers, I guess. Well, no, Lafreniere scored one, but it's Will Cooley, Barclay Goodrow, Lafreniere, and Jacob Trouba. Those are the last four goal scorers in two games.
Yeah, I think
it's tough to be so critical of the big guys because they've been so good to this point. But the last two games,
If you want to win a cup, you need Mika, you need Kreider, you need Panarin. Like you need at least two out of our four big guys to contribute. Like, you know, I'm putting Fox aside because he's clearly hurt and we're just not going to get it from him. It is what it is. Like I've come to terms with, we're not going to get what we need from Fox, but he's like out there. Yes, he's making mistakes, but he's like at least out there trying to fucking play at 60% or whatever he is. He's clearly hurt, but like, dude, in terms of offense, I mean, we need two of our four guys to show up on Thursday, otherwise we're cooked. And sorry, Ave, I know you wanted to talk, so go off, King.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, we finally get that one power play where I was like, oh my God, we're back. And then the guy breaks his stick, and we're like, it's like basically a 5-on-3. And then Mika just fumble fucks the puck.
Yeah.
Oh, like, he was laboring something too, though. He went down so awkwardly on
was
that play.
Was that when he got cross-checked in the back?
I think so, yeah.
By Brent Burns and the rest.
He was in a lot of pain.
Yeah, Burns hit him and broke his stick. That's why.
Right before he made that play.
I didn't know that that was the same play. All right, then I guess.
That was right before he turned the puck over.
Yeah, even so. And then I think one of the biggest underlying issues that's been happening is Vinny Trocheck is just getting abused at the dot with Jordan Staal, man. Jordan Staal is just such a bigger body, and he's just winning every single key draw, whether it's in our D zone or offensive zone. It feels like we haven't won a good offensive draw in two games.
Well, the Rangers were good at the dot in the first
Mika part of the game. Yeah, Mika played really well.
Mika was like 5 for 5 after the first period on draws.
Yeah, but in terms of Trocheck, I agree. Yeah. I mean, Trocheck's our faceoff guy. Like, Mika's usually the one who kind of loses the faceoffs, and Trocheck wins them, and it's kind of a reversal. And I totally agree with what you're saying. And dude, they just I don't know, man. I don't know.
Like, every single big draw, every big draw that Carolina has, Jordan Staal's on the ice, and he wins.
But none of their goals came on faceoffs last night.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, the way that Rangers operate and the way it works well is when we win a draw and get possession, we're a really good possession team when we get the puck. But when we're fumbling around and we can't win the wall battles, which has been the constant issue of these last couple games, we're just not going to win games. We're just not getting to the puck first. Mm-hmm. The best chance that we have at getting to the puck first is winning an offensive zone draw, and we're just not doing that.
Yeah, they need a jolt. And can I say something crazy, and then we can continue fan questions? Yeah. Like, I'm ready. This might be a hot take, but like, I'm ready to fire Gustafson off to the sun and start Zach Jones. Like, a dead serious, dude.
I think most people would agree.
He has been abysmal this entire series, and just like, he's just not it. He's getting dominated in every facet of the game. Like, he's losing. He has the puck. He's creating turnovers. He's just not playing smart hockey. And I think, like, you know, Jones, yeah, he might not be the best player, but like, he'll be more conservative. He won't make mistakes. Like, I need to see Zach Jones in game six. I don't know if they'll do it. I don't know if Lavi has the guts to do it, but if that's me, I'm playing Zach Jones in game six.
I don't think that's a hot take. I think a lot of people would agree with you. Just as far as Jones' puck moving ability too, because we've seen now Gustafson and Trouba turn the puck over a lot and it bites them in the ass.
Yeah.
But we got another question here from Sophie Nesnek. At the Garden tonight, fans started booing the power play in the third. Is it fair to boo them?
100%. 100%. It's 0 for 8 in two possible elimination games to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they decide to, like, shit the bed. I mean, like, you know, game three, if you wanted to give them a pass, totally understand. But, dude, they didn't give us any effort. I mean, that I think we can all agree, like, watching that power play and watching them in general yesterday was just really tough because they just weren't trying. Like, I don't know if they were gassed or what it was, but they just weren't trying. And I get it from a fan's perspective. Look at the playoff tickets, dude. $400 just to get into the Garden. I mean, can you imagine paying? I know, Johnny, you got your press pass. I know, Avery, you got your season seats. Can you imagine paying $400 to fucking watch that game yesterday? I would have literally broke my TV. I'm just saying it.
Yeah. And, you know, something I asked Laviolette in the post game. You know, typically the team that has better effort and execution is the team that's going to win. And I asked him if he can feel confident about the team's effort, even though they didn't execute. And he was just like,
good question.
I don't think we were sharp at all. Like, there was a lot of issues in that game. Like, I don't even think, like, the effort wasn't really there. And that's the scary thing, but it's also the positive thing. And this is kind of the way I've been talking about it. The three goals they let up last night are all fixable mistakes. You know, the first goal, the Rangers clear the puck out. Orlov gets it, does a tight turn. Roslovic, a mental error, does a fucking flyby. It's a lazy play, flyby. And then Mika also goes for a pretty bad change. Jordan Staal gets the puck with speed. Braden Schneider is 10 feet back because he thought they had numbers. Like, there were four guys in the frame when you look at the goal. And then all of a sudden, Jordan Staal has that big reach. Keandre doesn't really try to take away Jordan Staal. He plays the pass, and Staal goes right around Igor. The second goal, Panarin,
all time unaware
that Kuznetsov's there.
All time
just loses the one-on-one battle on a rebound. And then the third goal, it's Trouba, a turnover, and Mika isn't really there to help him out. Like, these are just – it's fixable things, though, and that's the positive way to look at it. It's not like they can't figure out what went wrong. They just got to fucking tighten up. And I just want to say one more thing. Like today, I asked Laviolette about – and Jackknife82 brought this up on the last show that – you know, Laviolette is a coach that came back from down 3-0 and won a series. He's been on the other side of this with Philadelphia in 2010. So I asked Laviolette in that experience, and I'll plug the actual clip here. I'll just let it play out. But
hey, Peter, thank you again for doing this, like everyone else said. And I think, you know, oftentimes in these situations, a lot of the questions are always about playoff experience, and we talk about the players and, you know, their maturation and whatnot, but I think coaching experience helps in this too. And, you know, you've been a coach to come back in this situation on the other side from down 3-0 and coaches talk about fighting for their lives. Are you going to use that experience in your own experience at all, as opposed or in regard to having the team play with a little bit more desperation and urgency now that they're somewhat fighting for their lives?
Yeah. You know, desperation's a funny thing. You can't give it to somebody. You know, you actually have to feel it, and you have to be in it, and then you can rise to that level. And so we move into the next game, and you realize now that the window's a little bit smaller, and that desperation level rises. But there's always conversations that we have with the team to be ready, whether they're motivational or they're instructional or they're systematic, whatever they might be. And you know, we've got 2 days to get things squared away here.
You know, essentially, the Rangers have to find their own desperation, and they haven't had it because they didn't really need it, and you can't really force it. So I think that's something big to look for in game six. But back to the original question, if the power play is not performing and you pay a lot of money to go see them play and they put out that kind of effort, you have every right to boo them, especially at a certain point in the game where it's somewhat out of reach. If it's a one goal game with 5 minutes left, don't boo, like encourage them to tie the fucking game up. But if they're down 2 or 3 in the last few minutes, yeah, you can let them hear it.
I mean, Avery said it best, man. Like, you know, from my perspective, like, coaching can only get you so far, right? Like, Lavi's answering the questions right now. He has to answer all the reporters after that showing. It's not an easy thing, but he's sitting there doing it. But like, dude, if our guys don't show up, like, you're dead in the water. We need our top performers to perform on Thursday or you're in trouble. Where coaching does come into play is they now have 2 days to fix those simple mistakes that you said are all fixable, and get ready for a team that is desperate, and you need to find even more desperation now, because I don't know about you guys, but like, yeah, they're up 3-2, but it sure as shit feels like they're down 3-2 right now. So they need to find a way to win and win the one game. And, you know, a lot of people are going to look to Laviolette to figure out ways on how to do that and fix whatever's wrong over these next 2 days.
Avery, anything?
Nope.
We had a question. I'm trying to find the stat from President Serta. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we lost 3 games in a row this year. Maybe once. I can't find it. It doesn't feel like we did.
I was thinking about that today. I don't remember the last time. I mean, we maybe lost back-to-back games maybe twice this season.
The end of the season before we went on a hot streak and won like 6 straight or whatever, five out of six to end the season, we did have a pretty poor stretch. I'm wondering if that was either 2 games in a row or 3 games in a row. I don't remember.
I'm looking it up right now.
The Islanders. But I don't remember. I mean, listen, during Igor's like poor play that like, you know, 3 weeks, it was all blur. So we could have, but I don't think we did. But to that point, right?
In January, we lost 4 in a row.
4 in a row.
And then,
yeah. But one was OT,
yeah,
right?
That's it. 4 in a row was it. We lost to Montreal in a shootout, then Vancouver, then St. Louis and Washington.
Yeah. So, again, none of that matters, right? You need to
win. Never lost 3 in a row, though. That's it. That was it.
You need to win one game. You need to win one game, and you need to find a way to win. And it's as simple as that. Like, nobody wants this go. Listen, nobody wants this going back to the Garden. Like, if it goes back to the Garden, you know, do we have
the advantage? I'll tell you who does.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
sure.
No, no, the NHL. Game 7 at Madison Square Garden on a Saturday. Ratings.
They can go shove it, because we need to finish this shit in 6 in Carolina. We need to find a way to win. I don't care if it's not a pretty win. I don't care if it's 2-1, 3-2, 4-3, whatever the hell it is, but you need to find a way to win that game in Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, they just took one in your building when you should have closed it out, like, go do it. And Trouba had a good point. I mean, he said that they worked hard enough to get themselves to a point where they have this buffer, but they're not going to take it for granted. They got to get it done.
Next question is from, well, it's actually a comment, and I did see a stat about this today. I'm trying to find that stat too, about, like, I think it was like 80 something percent of the time this happens, but James Chrysler said, just want to point out Vegas went up 3-0 last year on Dallas and then killed them in game six after Dallas won two games in a row. So something to point out.
I hate personally these like
comparisons
like 94. Yeah. Like I hate it because it doesn't fucking matter. I mean, if they don't take care of business, they're going to lose 7-0. Like, they need to take care of business and find ways to win. The trends that happened 20 years ago does not apply to this team today. Like, they just need to find a way to win. And, like, if the guys who have been bottled up these last two games don't perform, like, we need Trocheck, we need Mika, we need Kreider, we need, you know, we need Panarin, we need all these guys. Like, we need all these guys. It has to be a collective team effort, and they have to find a way to get it fucking done. That's it.
To that,
Bench Rempe. I'm done with that shit.
To that, we have a comment from NY Rocky 93, friend of the show. He said, not a question, just wanted to say I'm so disappointed. Feels worse than it actually is, which is true. And that's a good point that Chris Kreider made last night. If you said before the series that the Rangers would be up 3-2 going to Carolina, I think everyone would take that, right? Like, all three of us said Rangers in six.
We did.
You can't win in six if you don't lose two, right? But, like, I think the way it happened, you know, the pressure it felt like was on the Rangers in game five to get it done because of this feeling right now. Yeah. Going back to Carolina, knowing it's a difficult place to play in, and then anything can happen in a game seven, we all know that. But if you really think about it, with the way the Rangers have bounced back all year long, this is really still a good position to be in.
Totally agree. I've said this to you guys many times. I've said this in the group chat. Like, I think we're taking care of business in game six. I'm convinced we're taking care of business in game six. But to keep hammering home the point, like, we have to show up. I think a lot of these fans are ourselves included. Like, we all have PTSD from last season, right? Like, we all have PTSD from that fucking Dougie Hamilton OT goal. Like, that's etched in our brains. And it's, if you want to talk about the past, like, that's literally in correlation with what happened when we came back 3-1, 3-3 in game four, right? Like, we could have ended it there and we didn't, mm-hmm. and you let them hang around and now they're here. So to avoid that shit from repeating itself, finish them in game six. That's it. Fucking take care of business and finish that shit.
Avery, do you have anything to say?
I'm speaking for the both of us.
Yeah, today. Avery's just like fucking.
No, I'm just, I'm also just like answering emails because it's a crazy day, but I think you guys have all made really good points. I'm depressed.
You're not depressed.
Really, you're like the positive guy. Yeah, you're the positive guy. Six.
I know. I like to be the positive guy, and I think it aligns with my beliefs about pretty much anything in life. As I'm typically a more positive guy. I know that, and I kind of talked to you guys in the group chat about it last night. Is that I'm able to come back from certain moments in my life and in hockey and as Ranger fan. But if this happens, I will not be able to come back from it. I won't. So
listen, I think a lot of
the Rangers end up making their bed every single night, and they got to decide how they want it to look. And if they find a way to choke the series out, I don't know if I can look at that bed anymore. There's another analogy, but I don't know.
Avery's sleeping outside. He's gonna be sleeping outside.
Yeah,
that was way better than Cody's. They didn't. What is it? The Rangers.
No,
lost
that analogy was fucking awesome. It was true. They didn't. They didn't.
I was
win
agreeing
the
with him.
No, I'm saying my analogy was awesome.
Cody, I think on Thursday night at American Whiskey, you should grab the microphone and give a pump up speech before the game starts.
Dude, I fucking will. All right, but so I'm actually going to come late, so like I might miss the first like 2 minutes of the game.
All right, let's do a couple more. Shane Bullen, hypothetically, if it gets to a game seven and Hedl can't go, do you think we see Wheeler? So this is something that came up in Laviolette's Zoom press conference today. Wheeler is not up to game speed yet. They're trying to put him in a position to be successful, but he is a full go in practice. That said, I don't think they would throw him into a fire like this. He hasn't played since February. And Wheeler is typically a step behind to begin with. So I wouldn't expect to see Blake Wheeler. Do you think we see Brodzinski again in game six if Hedl is not playing? Because Rempe at this point.
Hope not.
I would not Brodzinski.
Dude, fucking throwing Othman, dude.
What are you talking about?
Throwing Othman, dude. He's going to give you more than Brodzinski's going to give
Edstrom.
you. or Edstrom. Don't care. Like, listen, Brodzinski's a great guy. Great guy.
You're a Brod's hater?
Hardworking, hard. No, I'm not. He's a hardworking hockey player. Like, I respect the hell out of him. But I think against a team like fucking Carolina, dude, he's just not going to be effective. Like, he zips around. Yes, sure. But, like, he's just not going to be – like, they need more than that, especially knowing, like, now you have to mess with the fourth line and the third line and all. Like, I don't know, man. I just think they need – right? Carolina adjusted their game, gave themselves a little, like, push, whatever it was.
I don't think they adjusted their game, really. They just – it just – pucks went in for them, finally.
No, I'm saying they switched their goalie. It's like they gave themselves a little jolt at some point, and then they went back to Freddie, sure, the last two games. I know their goal, whatever. But it gave them the jolt they need to, like, wake up a little bit. I think we need something like that. Like, whether it's – and listen, I'm not saying make a million switches, whatever. Like, whether it's playing Jones, whether it's playing Edstrom, whether it's playing Hoffman, like, give me something.
Hoffman is not playing. What the fuck?
Shut up. He's playing. Give me something to get this team going, because it's what they're doing is not working.
Well, your stupidity just cheered Avery up, so good for you on that.
I just – I don't really – I genuinely –
I'm going to give you a fucking noogie on Thursday, bro.
I genuinely think it don't matter. They could put any of the three of us in the fourth line spot. It really matters if the top guys are going to perform.
That's my opinion. All right. Well, this question goes into that. Richie McKenna, a friend of the show, with Rempe getting 5 minutes a night, is it time to go 11 forward, 7D to give Jones some run?
Well, we've been going 11 forwards pretty much every night if Rempe's playing. So
in the second half of the game,
Rempe's been getting like 6 minutes, dude.
And
I think we were obviously correct in the fact that you put him in for the MSG factor, right? Like he definitely brings that and keeps a crowd in it. But
Avery at 4-1 when the fans are chanting, "We want Rempe." Get the fuck out of here. What are we? Like,
that's
what are we
not doing? The MSG that I know. Yeah. I will say, I agree though. I think that you add the extra defenseman to have that option, because the Rangers have just been playing with 11 forwards for pretty much no reason. We know that there's a MSG factor with Rempe, but to only play him 4 or 5 minutes a game and have that extra spot just wasted away, it's so crucial in the playoffs. Awesome.
Let him cook.
Bro, they're trying to win in their own.
Are they?
Playing the Hershey Bears.
They're grinding.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Rangers.
I was talking to Prisky today, Avery. I'm gonna go try to see a Wolfpack Bears game.
He's playing Hershey. Hoffman's not playing. I'm just messing around. But I would love to see Jones. I really would love to see Jones. Like, Rempe can't play. Rempe can't play. And if Hedl's not a go, it's obviously Brzezinski. Like, that's it. That's your forwards, right? It's if Hedl can go, it's Hedl. If he can't go, you got to go Brzezinski, bench Rempe. But from a D perspective, like, you can play Jones. He's ready to fucking play. He's better than Gustafsson is, and he's going to give you the necessary boost you need. And he's a puck moving defenseman, which you love to see in the fucking playoffs. So play Jones. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I think you're going to at least see him in warm-ups on Thursday. No doubt.
I'm trying to find one more good one.
And Johnny, get a haircut. All right, keep going.
I think that might really be it. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's really it for as far as like the legit questions go. I mean, everyone just kind of wrote in with their concern, but I guess we'll go with this last one. You've been bexed. Disappointment. Are the Rangers we know back to do that to the fans at home and not put up a fight?
No.
What I will say as well, Jordan Staal, you know, I asked him about like which team had more pressure going into game 5. And I want to get the exact quote because I found it pretty interesting that he answered a question even about the other team. But Jordan Staal said, where is the quote? "Game 5s are tough, especially when you're at home. You don't want to go back on the road and you want to close it out, but we gave it all we got and we found a way." Like, the Rangers probably felt all the pressure in game 5, and now the Hurricanes in return will probably feel that on their home ice. Like, if the Rangers can have a good first period and silent, I just spit so much, and silence that crowd. Like, sometimes, you know, people talk about home ice advantage, but a lot of players have said you feel more pressure at home because you have to perform in front of your home crowd, you know? So sometimes it can backfire. And
you don't have to.
What?
You don't have to perform in front of your home crowd. We just didn't.
Yeah, the Rangers have closed it out in Carolina. We've seen them do it. I agree with what Johnny's saying. I think it's so important to win that first period, and they've done it. They've done it in games before, and they can do it again. The only bright spot I have for me right now is that when we did our series preview, I did say Rangers in six. So it
we all did.
Like, we all did. All three.
Yeah. So that's
all right, well, that's all we got for fan questions.
Dom.
We got Jonathan Stewart coming up here shortly. Any final thoughts before we kick it over to him? Do you want to mention American Whiskey one more time?
That was my plan. Make sure you guys come out, hang out with us, American Whiskey. I will promise I will be in better spirits, especially around all you guys. And I want to pack the place, man. If you're in New York City or in the New Jersey Hoboken area and you want to come on over, hang out, listen, it's going to be a great time. We're fun to be around. It's going to be great. So definitely come out. Johnny, what's the address again? American Whiskey.
It is 247 West 30th Street.
247 West 30th Street. Come out. Free Jello shots every time the Rangers score. They're going to score 7 goals, so get ready to take some Jello shots and some great deals on the docket. You just check out all our socials. We'll be posting it everywhere. So can't wait for that. Can't wait to see you guys. It was great to see you last night, Johnny. You look good. Yeah. You got the beard going.
You too, Abe. That was nice. All right. Well, with that, let's send it over to Jonathan Stewart. This week on the Blue Crew, it is an absolute honor to welcome on an 11-year NFL running back with the Carolina Panthers and 1 year with the New York Giants, a 2015 Pro Bowler, participated in Super Bowl 50, and the host of the Believe in Panthers and Going Long podcast. Welcome to the show, Carolina Hurricanes fan, Jonathan Stewart. Jay Stu, what's going on?
Nothing much. Thanks for having me. I'm new to the hockey world, so this is this is great.
Well, I imagine the vibes in Carolina are a little bit higher than the vibes in New York right now, because we're all in panic mode, and I think you guys are in celebration mode. What's going on?
Well, I think what you guys are going through right now, you know, being 3-0 in the series at one point, and now you're, you know, left thinking to yourself, how did I get here? You know, I think right now it's just about, you know, finishing. At the end of the day, right? You got to continue to apply pressure. And you got to apply pressure before the other team does. So it's interesting, man. I'm just glad that I get an opportunity to see the Hurricanes play again. So
are you doing the siren for game 6?
Yeah, I'm doing the siren.
They're good luck charm. We got to break that luck.
Well, hopefully, you know, there's not a triple overtime like there was last time I was there.
That was
interesting. So my first game ever watching hockey live was last year, and triple overtime in the playoffs.
Yeah,
wow.
And literally, it was the energy was out of this world. I became even more a fan, because I was actually there to experience the excitement level, but actually understand what these timeouts are, the holds on the games, you know, the two half times, basically, you know, the extended period of time there. So, because when you're watching for the first time, you're just like, why are they stopping? What's happening? I don't understand. So, but when you're there, it's all part of the process, and you actually understand the game, the nature of the game, how hard it is. I mean, these guys are giants basically on skates on ice, controlling a puck going, you know, probably a minimum of 20 miles per hour at all times, and ramming into each other like continuously. I mean, the level of respect that I have for hockey players is through the roof at this point. So you know, it's a good sport to watch, and I'm glad that we've been good for the last 3 years, and they've been giving fans something to be excited about, especially, you know, with all the other sports in the Carolinas right now outside of college. There hasn't been too much excitement lately.
Yeah, yeah. No, you make some good points, and you know, similar to NFL playoffs, right? NHL playoffs has a certain intensity about it, and you know, the Rangers Canes obviously has been a crazy series so far. It's going down to the wire here. You know, what would you say is the most compelling thing for you watching playoff hockey? Is, you know, both now a fan and someone of such a competitive nature.
The importance of depth is huge in hockey, especially when you get those situations where what is it, the power play? You know, those situations where you're missing a guy, it's hugely important to have somebody that's in there, especially towards the end of the game where guys are wearing out, tired. You know, it's the guys in playoffs that the guys that step up in the playoffs are the guys that you necessarily don't really hear their name often. I mean, I look at the last game, you know, the guys that came through there at the end, you know, those aren't necessarily your top scorers or your top assist guys. And they came through the clutch there for us, extending the series.
Mm-hmm. I actually, you know, it's funny. I didn't really have this prepared, but my brain kind of just went here. This is how I operate. I'm kind of a fucking idiot sometimes, but
Don't be an idiot.
I have a rule change proposal for you in football.
Okay.
So, you know, just like you, you're kind of a new hockey fan. I'm not the biggest like NFL fan. I don't really know, you know, a lot of NFL history and whatnot, but what if when a defending player in the NFL committed a penalty, instead of like a 15-yard, 10-yard penalty, they took that guy off the field for like that four down play? Would that be something of interest in the NFL? Am I onto something here?
That is,
I don't think it's a bad idea
for wide receivers. It'd be a touchdown.
Or like the four downs.
It's a little bit more unfair from the advantage standpoint, because I feel like in hockey, there's a lot of movement, continuous movement. So you can find leverage, you know, based off of feel. And a lot of times in hockey, nothing's the same. Mm-hmm. Whereas at least in football, you line up to the line of scrimmage, you know, we start with there's a starting point every play. So we can adjust, we can make adjustments, offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, make adjustments, and we can find leverage through adjustments. It's an automatic leverage point if you're missing a guy on the field.
But isn't that, you know, it's like an NFL power play.
Especially if the quarterback commits that penalty, for sure.
Maybe like a kickoff return or something like that could be streamed as
one less guy. Change.
Yeah, one less guy.
All right, so it wasn't that stupid of an idea.
It wasn't that stupid, but you know, we'll let the viewers, you know, determine that fact.
It's got legs.
Exactly. But Jay Stu, unlike Johnny, I am a big football guy. And, you know,
where have you been, Johnny? You've been living under a rock.
I watch.
You know, football is the number one, you know, sport in America.
Yeah. I'm a hockey guy through and through, you know.
Okay.
A little basketball. I've been to, you know, a bunch of NFL games too. I'm like a football hater.
You're not like Austin Rivers right now, are you?
Austin. Oh, the NBA player?
Yeah.
What's going on with him?
You haven't heard?
No.
So Austin Rivers says that right now there's 30 people in the NBA that can just jump into a uniform, play football, and dominate.
What?
Yeah, he's crazy.
That's not me. Don't worry.
All right, as long as you're not that.
He's not that.
I respect it, and I enjoy watching it. I just don't know it.
Yeah, I feel it.
All right, so I'm a big Jets guy, and you know, I've been through my own torture in the past. But
how are you feeling about the Jets right now?
I feel good this year, if healthy, right? If healthy, I think they could be a very good team. You know, I think the East got weaker and the Jets got better. So that's all you can really ask for. But we did just draft a guy, a stud rookie out of Wisconsin, Braylon Allen, whose NFL comparison was actually you. So, you know, for a young kid coming into the league like Braylon, like what type of advice would you give having gone through it all and having a successful career?
Well, being in New York, you got to block out the noise. And, you know, prepare, you gotta be prepared. You know, if you're not prepared in this league, you're selling yourself short. And that's in everything, right? But this is the opportunity of a lifetime for you to really, you know, change your family, you know, for the future, financially, and just, you know, you have a platform now to do whatever it is that you want to do in life. So take advantage of, you know, off-field endeavors, and obviously bring your, you know, your briefcase to work every day and put in the work. But I also say, you know, regret hurts more than discipline. So do it right there and then, whatever it is that you have to do, don't wait on it. Do it there, do it now, don't wait, because if you wait, you'll still have to do it in the long run. And, you know, just like, you know, doing your laundry, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
if you just do your laundry right there and then, you don't have to do it because it's going to have to get done. Yeah. So just do it now. So just have the discipline. And if it hurts, you know, if it feels like it hurts in those moments of, oh man, I got to get up and I already worked out today. It will hurt way worse when you're in the moment and you prove yourself to be exposed, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And a thought just actually came into my head when you said opportunity of a lifetime, you know, being a running back, like, how do you feel about finally this offseason running backs getting paid? You know, I feel like it's the first time that all these elite running backs went to different teams. I feel like there were 7 or 8. I mean, there was Pollard, Eckler, tons of them. And, you know, each one finally got paid and broke that mold. And I know for a long time, that was like an ongoing issue with running backs.
His thoughts are smarter than mine.
Exactly.
Well, I obviously think that, you know, I think the game is changing as a whole. And I think it's changing for, you know, good reason. You know, fans want to see scoring and all that type of stuff. So you're definitely putting your money in the quarterback lane. You're putting your money in the pass rushing lane, and at the receiver position. I definitely think, you know, running backs, if you think about running backs, you think about football in general. And not just because I'm a running back per se, like, it's because it's what makes the game special. You know, if you talk about a guy catching a ball, what's special about the guy that catches the ball? Whether or not he gets yak, you know what I'm saying? Yards after catch. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy gets yards after catch, that means he's running the ball. And what's cool about a guy, a ball carrier, being able to do special things in the open field against, you know, defenders, it's the unpredictable sense of the game that's where it is. It's not in the passing game. It's not in anything else besides the ball carrier. So the running back position is the DNA of football, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's the unpredictable things that happen. Oh, he jumped over a guy. Wow, that was amazing. It was in the middle of the A gap and he jumped over and rushed for 15 more yards. Stuff like that, you know, and you got special athletes out there, you know, especially in this recruiting class or this draft class that just came out. You know, Jonathan Brooks, Carolina Panthers drafted him. When he gets, you know, fully healthy, this is a guy that you're going to be able to see and relate to. The guys of Jamaal Charles. Remember seeing him and how explosive it was watching him having the ball in his hands at any point of time. It's a home run hitter, you know, from any point of the field. And, you know, you got the likes of Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. Finally, Saquon Barkley is in a situation that he is actually going to be able to, you know, have the assets around him, the pieces around him to really make, you know, his, you know, his engine go, if that makes any sense. Because, you know, you're in New York and you're, you know, stunted in certain ways with the guys that are around you and the offense and how that's being led, you know, in the quarterback position. So you now have got Jalen Hurts, you got all these weapons around you. You're not the focal point all the time. And you're basically going to see teams try to implement what the 49ers do. Because you can't implement what Patrick Mahomes team,
yeah.
The Chiefs. Yeah. You can't really implement that what the Chiefs do because they have Patrick Mahomes, and you can only do that if you have a Patrick Mahomes. So you got to implement the next best thing, which is a really solid quarterback in Purdy, and then you have a lot of offensive weapons on his radar, and then you have a defensive side that just balls out. So you know, have a balanced offense and you play defense.
Kind of bringing that back to hockey a little bit. Like, it's interesting the points you made, and even just, you know, a running back and the core of football being running. Like, everyone talks about hockey. If you can't skate and keep up, like, you're not going to be able to perform. You're not going to be able to win. And that's something that Carolina does so well. The Hurricanes are one of the best skating teams in the NHL, but the Rangers, to your point of the Mahomes thing, they have like those stars like Panarin and Zibanejad, and Trocheck has been another one. And you have the experience of being a big gun on your team, right? Like going into Super Bowl 50, you, Cam Newton, Keekly, right? Keekly. Damn it. All right. Shit. I do remember him. Luke Keekly. Hell of a player, right?
Yeah, hell of a player. You better get his name right.
Yeah, no disrespect. I didn't mean any disrespect. But you know what I mean? Like the Rangers now, and this is something where you can relate to, the last two games, you know, the big guys, quiet. You know, they didn't show up. And the Rangers need them to do that in order to win this game. They've had 2 days of rest going into game six. Super Bowl, you get 2 weeks going into the big game. You know, it's a little bit, obviously the timing is a little bit different, but it's more time to think about the game. And when you know the pressure is somewhat on your shoulders as an athlete, how challenging can it be? Or what is something that you did maybe to not like bottle it, but to, I guess, channel it and try to use it?
Yeah. You know, post-football, I learned that I have the elite ability to, basically put things on the back burner. There's a
I don't know what that word would be.
Not prioritize, but it's literally taking something that is a problem or that is in your head all the time and just taking it and throwing it away.
It's called ignoring it.
Perseverance? I don't know.
Jeez.
All right. When
I think about it later, I'll tell you. But basically, the ability to block out the noise and whatever is in front of you, that's the only thing that matters. And for those guys, you have to decide, how can I make my environment on a daily basis the thing that's in front of me, but also too, not putting all the pressure on you. Let the game come to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not all on you. The Carolina Hurricanes are proving that. You got a depth chart. You got guys that you practice with every day. Depend on those guys. Set those guys up. Figure out, okay, if all eyes are on me, how can I make the team better by basically playing into that? Lean into those moments. And then also, too, when the game comes to you, you've already been leaning in. You're not stressed. The ball's in your hand. The puck's in, you know, at your, what's it called? The puck is there. Like, the game comes to you. And I don't want to give any advice to these guys, but in big moments like this, you see in the playoffs right now in the NBA, you know, your team is going to win the championship if your good players are playing good, period. I mean, you see the Dallas Mavericks, you see the Minnesota team. When their stars are playing at an elite level, there's no question who's the better team out there. And so
you're saying the Rangers,
the Rangers are the best, you know, as far as like their depth chart on the starting level. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But where's the guys that are silent that have been silent all year? It's to your turn to step up. You get paid too. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't just have to always be this, you know, the star studs that are making these plays and coming in through clutch. But I would say, you know, in these big moments, you know, one of the things that I learned from the Super Bowl, you know, it's not just a game. It's not just an ordinary game.
It's so funny because everyone says it's just a game, right?
Yeah. It's not, and you shouldn't treat it as such. I think the playoffs, you know, the year we went to Super Bowl, the playoffs, we treated those playoff games like they were Super Bowl games. Mm. Like the excitement and you know, obviously it helps when you're playing at home and you have the home field advantage and you're cheering, your fans are cheering and their excitement, you know, the week leading up to that, a lot of buildup. You have to treat this like this is the absolute, this is the Stanley Cup. This is it.
Yeah.
Every game is it. And from the standpoint too, from a football world, every game could be it for you. That's how I viewed it, because you can get injured. It could be a season-ending injury. And so the mindset has to be, this is it. I need to go out there and be prepared so that way I'm not exposed, and lean in to what they're giving me. And then once you understand what they're giving you, then you just infiltrate the space and then you make it go. Mm-hmm. Like if I understand that they're, if a defense is basically, all right, they're 8 men in the box. There is no space to run. So what I'm going to do for the first quarter and the second quarter and the third quarter, I'm going to hit that hole as hard as I can. And eventually it's going to come down, because that fourth quarter comes around and somehow it's still a close game or we got the lead. That's when I break one. You just got to continue to knock on the door. And when the person answers, they're not going to be ready for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, first and foremost, you know, I think we're both very happy you agree with us, Rangers in six, but
no, I'm not agreeing with you at all. Because this is what's really cool. Like, you know, what's cool about these series is you get to play these teams over and over and over until, you know, you get a winner. What I like about what the Carolina Hurricanes have been doing is they've been shooting their shots. I mean, they're putting up about 40 shots a game, right?
A lot of shots.
You're shooting your shot, and eventually one's going to go. So your goalie right now, last game, he was tripping. He had a bad game, right?
Well, and no, he had a good game. He had a good first two periods in the
defense
third period.
Sucked. Yeah. Defense sucked.
Hey, he didn't finish.
Yeah.
Right? Because the previous games, he was out there collecting rent on all those pucks. Right? So what I like to see is the Hurricanes basically continue to tag on their finishing approach. But I want to see them activate in that second period, because there's a lot of dead silence. And, you know, I feel like it's in hockey in general, maybe. Like the second period is just like, you know, a transitional moment or something.
Yeah, it's a different game.
Yeah, where it's like, let's just play defense and steady and let's not mess up, basically.
Yeah.
And then the third series, you basically, hey, you got to get it how you can, right? And so I like that, you know, we finished strong, but I want to see that carry over through the first period. But I also want it to bleed into the second period, where you basically are at home. This is your last game playing at home in front of your fans, possibly. Yeah. Right. So you got to leave it all out there. Second period, let's come with some heat. Mm-hmm. Catch them on their toes, and so, or keep them on their toes, put them on their heels.
But, do you have an extra appreciation for the 7-game series with how the NFL is just, you know, it's one game, one shot? I mean, you know, it's so interesting because you play a Super Bowl, right? It's one game. And if you don't bring your best game, that's it. Like, Carolina has the chance now to be the fifth team in the history of the NHL to come back from down 3-0 in a series and win it. And I'm curious, you know, the sports are somewhat similar in the physicality, but so different in the way the playoffs work. You know, like you win your division, you get a bye. The Rangers won the league. They don't get shit for it. They get home ice. That's really it. So I'm curious on your thoughts of like the length of a series versus just working up to play one game.
You know, I respect the heck out of these guys on ice, first of all. I mean, like I said earlier, you know, it's a con every there's a lot every sport besides golf. I mean, maybe golf is a contact sport. I don't know. But
I don't know if I can make
contact with the ball. But the grass might mess up your hands. But you know, basketball is a contact sport. Mm-hmm. Soccer is a contact sport. Football and hockey are contact sport. But the difference between all those sports with hockey and football is it's a collision sport.
Yeah.
Right? There are legit real-life collisions happening every single play. And I'll say on the football side of things, there's probably, you know, on a given 8-second play, there's probably 13 different collisions that are happening, right? And they are full speed. But then you have hockey. When I went, like I said last year, I went to this hockey game. I'm like, man, this is continuous collision.
It's exhausting.
Collision, yeah. After collision, after collision. And not just with the player, but with the side rails there, you know? Yeah. And you're on the ice. And so, like my body just aches thinking about it. And so, I legit left that experience and saying to myself, man, hockey players might be the most well-conditioned athletes on the planet, my opinion. I mean, obviously you have long distance runners and all that kind of stuff, but in the sense of condition, meaning that you can go through all these collisions, come back a day later and play another game like this and just continue the collisions over and over, your body has to be in elite top shape. You know, it's unbelievable, you know, to witness. So
yeah,
kudos to the hockey players out there. I ain't got it.
Yeah, I mean, you got your top players getting, you know, 18 to 25 minutes a night, and that's it. And it's like they're probably burning thousands and thousands of calories. But I want to talk a little bit about, you know, obviously the run.
We should have a couple more each, if that's cool, Jay Stu. Just like one or two more each.
Before Johnny interrupted me, what I was going to say. What I wanted to ask you was, you know, did you have any type of special game day routine, meal of choice? I feel like we hear stories all the time having guys on where they had, you know, whatever their favorite meal is every single game and so on. Like, did you have a specific routine and meal of choice leading up to each game and especially during that postseason run?
Was it Marshawn Lynch with the Skittles on the sideline? Was that his thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, the Skittles.
I don't know football. Kind of ball.
Yeah. You saw that on a commercial. Get it.
But you know, it wasn't necessarily the things that had to happen, because my home games and away games were different. Home games, I lived right down the street from the stadium, so after we sleep in the hotel, I get up in the morning, eat some oatmeal, and that would be all I'd eat before a game. If it was a, you know, 1 o'clock showing, I would just eat, you know, a big bowl of oatmeal and pound a bunch of water, have some orange juice. But then I'd come back to my condo and I'd play the piano for a little bit because I had a piano in my condo. And it's
big
music guy. And so, but just basically tap into another top part of my brain, which is trying to find some flow state, you know, and on away games, I would basically just listen to tunes, right, on the bus on the way to, you know, the stadium, because it was about a 30-minute drive, and I would start my morning off a little later, you know, on away games. But basically, it's all about finding that flow state, because you don't want to be too high, you don't want to be too low, you want to be able to just rise steady to where, you know, it's, you know, by the third quarter, you're not all out of energy. So it's a lot of self. I'm a big self-preservation guy.
Mm. Speaking of music, Chase, too. Mm-hmm. Are you a Morgan Wallen fan?
Yeah, I know some of his music.
Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of my co-host Cody?
Yeah, I should be.
Okay, so game seven, if Carolina wins, is on Saturday night. Cody has tickets to the Morgan Wallen show. So do you want Carolina to win and ruin Cody's experience at the Morgan Wallen show?
Yes, I do.
I'll tell you, if they
you're a big Morgan Wallen fan?
Yeah, yeah, I'm a big Morgan guy.
Has he been on your show?
No.
We got to get him on your show.
We got to get Morgan on.
Got to get him on. Especially when you missed the show. And you can tell him that, hey, you shouldn't have done that.
You know, I feel like that
or you're just gonna miss it. If we win, you deserve to miss it for being a Rangers fan because they gave up a 3-0 run.
I said to Johnny and, you know, our other co-host Avery, who can't be here, he's actually going to Morgan as well. We got the tickets forever ago, and you know, this is how the world works. But we both said, you know, if they lose game six, I don't even want to watch game seven. I just want to enjoy the concert and somebody
watch
will tell,
you I'm can watch it from your phone.
Airplane mode and let it ride off into the sunset.
Huge Morgan Wallen fan. This is good though. He came out with an album last year, right? Like 22, yeah. 22 songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just came out with a six song with Post Malone. Real good.
Oh yeah. That song is good.
I think I heard that song.
Yeah. But I just got one question left for you. You know, throughout your time in the NFL, I would love to hear a crazy story, either maybe on the field, visiting an opposing team, being out in the city, you know, practice, rookie year, draft, anything. Just give me something good that, you know, maybe you can't read in online or anything like that.
I'm not gonna lie, bro. I had a really boring professional career. I showed up to work and I did my job.
Well, I got one for you. I can tee you up if that helps.
Yeah, tee me up.
So I'm actually gonna also rephrase this into my own question, if that's okay, if that's allowed.
Yeah.
I suppose.
So, you know, obviously I don't know a ton about the NFL, but I do a lot of research for these shows. And I came across a story of you talking about how you pissed yourself your rookie year on the field after hydrating a little bit too much and you got into a collision with somebody.
Yeah, so you remember that I eat a lot of oatmeal in the morning and I drink a lot of water.
But I have a question, Jason.
Yeah, how did I do it?
No. Is there any NHL player, if you were on the ice, that would make you piss yourself?
Oh.
And then you could tell the story.
I feel like all of them would, because any guy that can be 6 foot plus, 6'3 plus, 235-245 pounds on ice, I feel like I call myself a little bit psychotic, crazy to play football. You got to turn on and off switch to go out there and make collisions. But to do it on ice and have this puck flying around, like barely grazing your face, probably got high sticks all in your face and guys running, they're running like 20 miles per hour.
Yeah. Around there. Maybe faster.
Yeah. Maybe faster. Any man on skates that size coming towards me would make me not pee myself, but it would make me want to get off the ice. And I would, I'm not good on the ice anyway. So to answer your point, no man on this universe would ever make me pee my pants.
Well, I was going to transition that into, do you think Martin Natchez, number 88 on Carolina, pissed his pants when Jacob Trouba went to hit him, I think, in game one? I don't know if you saw that collision when Trouba went like face first into the boards.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I do know a story about a guy named Kinger, but I won't tell it.
Okay.
It involves him getting hit, and he did one or two. It was during a football game. that would be during his time to tell his story time. Okay. Man, there's a lot of interesting stories. You know, practice. There's a lot of practices and stories. I mean, my first time getting to Carolina and practicing full go. You guys know who Thomas Davis is? Linebacker.
Yep.
Played at Georgia. He's a dog. And basically, I ran a power play. Power plays are basically a gap. And I got hit so hard. It was an immediate hit. I got the ball and I immediately got hit. Like I got hit by somebody in the A gap. You know, Johnny, you know where the A gap is?
I don't. That was my next question.
All right. So you got the center, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you got the guard. The A gap is right between the center and the guard. Yeah.
Okay.
So I got hit so fast going down the A gap that I thought the hit initially took place from the A gap. Thomas Davis was on the edge, basically where a defensive end, like Julius Peppers, Julius Peppers.
I know him. Number 90, right? 90?
Yep. Plays 90? On the edge. Yep. Uh-huh. Plays on the edge. And he's lined up outside of him. That's how fast Thomas Davis got to me and took me off my feet. And that was my introduction. That was probably the hardest hit that I've experienced in the league. And it was in practice, and it was my very first hit in collision at practice by Thomas.
Welcome to the NFL, Jay Stu, huh?
Yeah. So, and I still talk to him and give him heck about it.
I love it. I actually have one last one since Johnny hijacked my question.
Well,
if you were stranded in the middle of an island and had service for 1 minute to make a phone call, which former NFL player is answering that call to scoop you up?
Good one.
Oh, that's a great one. Mike Tolbert.
Tolbert.
Yeah.
Running back. Love
yep.
it. Love it.
Yep. He's going to pick partner up. He's going to say, hey, where you at, dog? Man, why are you all the way out there? How you get there? You by yourself? I'll find a way.
Yeah. All right, well, JC, we really appreciate this, and you know, we wish you the best. Anything you want to plug, actually, before you hop off? I know you're doing a couple of different shows.
You guys can check me out at Believe in Panthers with Desmond Johnson and Skylar Callahan, and as well as Scoing Long, which is a Oregon Duck podcast covering the Duck athletics with Zach. And yeah, just check us out on all platforms. And yeah, man, just, you know, keep an eye out for me. I'm trying to get into this broadcast thing.
Love it.
But yeah, man, go Canes, go Hurricanes, and make it do what it do. Go 3-3, and then go back to New York and do what you just did last night.
Mm-hmm. What I actually will say,
Rangers in six.
What I will say before you go, I think when it comes to NFL players with probably, you know, teams that they've played with the best uniforms, Oregon Ducks and Carolina Panthers has to be
top two in both,
right?
Oh yeah, they're definitely top two or at least three for Panthers. I mean, the color schemes, you can't go wrong, right?
Unreal.
Yeah, the black and blue.
I used to rock a Jake Delhomme jersey back in the day when I was I remember him.
Yep. Yep, and you know, Steve Smith, that was a beautiful connection they had. But hopefully we just go out there and win this game. You know,
what was the okay?
Canes and seven. Canes and seven. Canes and seven.
Canes and seven, not happening.
Canes and seven.
All right, fine. We can just end it on that. I was gonna ask you about Steve Smith and his shit talk, but I don't know if we can go into that or not.
I know, let's refrain from any Steve Smith banter.
Okay. All right.
Especially from a guy that doesn't know anything about football.
I was asking. I was curious. No, I'm just all right. Kidding, Rangers in six. Great Let's to have go. You. Thank you again.
Canes in seven.
And Rangers in six. Go
Canes.
Let's go. Let's go.
Canes. I got it red in here for the Canes.
Thanks, dude. We appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, dog.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. That was awesome.
Dude, that was fucking great.
What a great guy.
Yeah, what a fucking
guy. I hope he respected my honesty about not knowing a lot of football, but yeah, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Any thoughts for you before we wrap it up?
Great interview by, you know, Jay Stu, check out his stuff. Like he said, Rangers in six, and let's do this thing on Thursday. LFGR, baby.